Chapter 15. Misguided Train Wreck.
They finally got to the town called Olettis. As they approached the village, Slate and Loke were immediately struck by the quietness of it all. The buildings were taller and wider here, with intricate carvings and design entrenched into the walls. But despite their size and grandeur, most doors were locked tight. This was a town that was not meant for outsiders. The locals moved from their business purposely, rarely glancing at the strangers passing through. Slate and Lug felt like intruders, unwanted guests in a place not meant for them. The streets were wide and clean, but empty of people. It was as if the entire town had retreated into the shadows, leaving the travellers to fend for themselves. The silence was eerie, broken only by occasional sound of horse hooves or a door creaking open. The buildings were crafted from sturdy stone and intricate woodwork, with colourful stained glass windows and carved pillars. As Slate led them to the most prominent house in town, Loke couldn't help but admire the grandeur of the building. It stood tall, with four floors, and is not attached to any other house, giving it an air of exclusivity. Once they got near the house, Slate jumped off Sage and brought Sage to the horse stall, and Loke followed him as they walked towards that big house. Slate knocked on the door twice, then once more and two more times. Almost like it was a secret code. The door creaked, and a half of a man's face was peeking through the door. The man shouted, "What do you want?" Slate replied, "I want to see you. Do you not remember me?" The man looked at Slate and opened the door, yelling, "Of course, I remember you. I apologize, I saw a young boy and feared you were a thief or something." "Oh, come, come." The man was bald, of a muscular build, with a few scars that looked old and had healed over the years. He was dressed in a finely tailored clothes that suited the house's grandeur. He wore a long, deep, rich coat with gold buttons down the front. He spoke in a smooth, sophisticated voice, with impeccable manners and a polite demeanor. The man gestured for them to enter the room and asked them to sit down. They found themselves in a spacious common area as they entered the house. The room was illuminated by several chandeliers hanging from the ceiling, casting a warm glow throughout the place. The walls were adorned with paintings and tapestries of various sizes, depicting scenes of battle, landscapes, and portraits of notable figures. There were several comfortable sofas and armchairs arranged in small groups. In the center of the room was a gigantic fireplace, crackling with warm fire and emitting a pleasant smell of burning wood. The floor was made of polished hardwood, with a few decorative rugs placed strategically to add touch of colour to the room. A large staircase made of marble led to the house upper floors. A few doorways led to different rooms on the ground floor. Overall, the common area exuded the air of sophistication and luxury. The man offered them some cheese and ale and asked Slate, "So, can the boy have some?" While lifting the jug of ale, Slate exclaimed, "Why not?" Loke took a sip of ale and immediately spat it out, grunting, "That tastes horrible." They both laughed. Loke didn't respond and pushed the drink away. Slate asked, "Atalan, what happened here?" "The town was always full of life and many people walking around, but now it looks like people are scared to leave their houses." Atalan began explaining, "Yes, this place was once a haven. It was full of life, but we kept getting these strangers into town. At first, they were fine, but now they started causing trouble, like a few bar fights. They kept coming back and started robbing people, taking everything they owned, hurting people, or even killing them. I scared them away whenever possible, but sometimes I was outnumbered and barely survived myself." Atalan continued, "So, after that, the townspeople are scared and don't trust strangers. People stay inside most of the time like a hermit. This is why they are afraid of you. And you also have a terrible reputation. So that adds on, you know." Slate grunted, "I know too well. I am never welcome in most places I visit." Slate drank deeply from the cup of ale. Atalan sighed. "When there wasn't any bandits, it would be monsters, wild dogs, or even wolves coming to our town. We had so much trouble that we hired highly skilled people like yourself to eliminate the intruders, but we could only keep them at bay for a time. Adelon gulped a mouthful of ale and said, Slade, I have an idea. Please stay here for a while. I feed you like a king and you will have an entire floor to yourself. Slade breathed out. I can't stay for long. I have matters to attend to. And I came not only to see a good friend, but also that I need you to train the boy. Look, we need to go past the forest of Samatus. It has many dangerous creatures and I must prepare the boy.
Adelon nodded. Okay, Slade. I will give you another offer. I will help you train the boy and give you a place to sleep and food to eat. In return, you'll just need to help me scare away any intruders and get rid of any monsters that will threaten our town for some time until we get the town back to the way it was before.
Adelon gazed deeply into Slate's eyes and asked, You agree, Slate? Slate thought momentarily and replied, I will do that until the boy's training is done. By then, the threat should be gone too.
Adelon smiled, Great, let's drink. I'll start training him tomorrow.
Luke had been patient for too long and couldn't help interrupting. Why won't you train me, Slate?
Slate turned to Luke and tried to soften his voice. I wouldn't have the patience, and besides, this man is so much better trainer and will help you far more than I can.
Okay.
Now, Luke, I think it's time for you to sleep.
Luke nodded as he yawned and went to bed. Slate turned to Adelon. I need to get some much needed rest.
Adelon nodded and the old friends bid each other goodbye, happy with their agreement.
In the morning, Adelon gently knocked on Luke's door.
Come, boy. It is time for you to get up and get ready for your training.
Luke yawned as he slowly adjusted his eyes as the sunlight seeped through the window.
Where is Slate?
Adelon chuckled.
He is still sleeping. Let's let him sleep, as it seems like he needs it. Now, come, boy.
Luke slowly got off the bed and grabbed his clothes. Luke went to the bathroom to get ready. On his return, Luke saw that Adelon with a wooden sword and some armor perfectly fitted for Luke.
Luke scratched his head. Why do I have to put armor on? Is that even for me?
I thought we were only training.
Adelon laughed. That's my point. You'll see, you'll need to get used to wearing armor as it's heavy, and you'll need to get used to fighting with the extra weight.
Adelon continued, This is the armor I wore when I was your age. You will get used to wearing it after a while. And you never know, it may save your life one day. So I want you to have it as I don't need it anymore.
Luke nodded and Adelon passed the armor to him. Once they felt ready, they walked into the training hall.
Adelon held out the wooden sword pommel and pointed it towards Luke. He approached it and grabbed it from him.
Without warning, Adelon charged at Luke, who was caught off guard and fell to the ground. Annoyed, Luke grumbled, What are you doing? I wasn't ready.
Adelon laughed.
Exactly. You need to be always ready for an attack. Do you think your enemies will wait until you're ready to strike? No, they'll take the first opportunity they get.
Adelon ordered Luke to stand up and then began to suck at him.
Suddenly, Adelon charged at Luke again, but this time, Luke managed to block the attack with his sword.
Feeling confident, Luke smiled, but Adelon swiftly parried his sword and pressed it against Luke's chest.
Adelon shouted, I told you not to be distracted. Your enemies will exploit your weakness, so you must be alert and ready.
Luke charged at Adelon, swinging his sword wildly. But Adelon quickly blocked every move and parried Luke's sword again.
Adelon then performed a leg sweep, causing Luke to fall to the ground, and he pointed his sword at him.
Now I know your level, and there's so much to teach you, Adelon said with a grin.
Slate walked in. His eyes fell upon Luke and Adelon. Adelon called over Slate.
You must be prepared to stay here for a while. Luke is nowhere ready and has a lot to learn.
Slate nodded and walked to the end of the hall.
Slate leaned on the wall, overseeing them both while they trained. They took a break and Luke sat in the corner to rest.
Adelon passed the water to Luke, who pushed it away and said, I don't need it.
Adelon insisted, so Luke drank the water.
Adelon picked up Luke and tried to be a little gentler this time.
Adelon asked, Show me how you swing your sword. Loke swung his sword awkwardly, using only his right hand, but Athlon defiantly parried Loke's attack with ease. Loke's grip to his sword loosened and slipped out of his hand, clattering to the ground. Athlon laughed. "Now, pick it up." Loke stepped forward to retrieve the fallen sword. But as he neared it, Athlon swiftly executed a front kick, knocking Loke off his feet and sending him tumbling to the ground. Athlon chuckled and remarked, "Remember, Loke, never let your guard down, not even for a moment." Athlon shouted, "Loke, always be aware of possibility of an attack, and remember not everyone is truthful, so don't let your guard down too easily." Stepping away from the sword, Athlon gave Loke a chance to retrieve it and stand up. "That's good, boy. You waited for the right moment to retrieve your sword," Athlon praised. "Now, come here, Loke. I want you to follow my movements and emulate my technique," Athlon commanded. Loke positioned himself behind Athlon and mirrored his movements, slowly improving his technique with each swing of the sword. Gradually, Loke's swordplay became more refined, his movements more fluid and precise. Slate watched from the corner, a small smile forming as he witnessed Loke's progress. However, his smile faded as he realised how much the boy still needs to learn. Athlon gave Loke a pat on the back, signalling the end of the training session for the day. "Well done, Loke. That's enough for today. Let's get some food," Athlon said with a smile. Loke nodded and left the training hall to freshen up. Once Loke was out of earshot, Slate approached Athlon. "He's improving, but there's still a long way to go," Athlon remarked. "Now that I've started training Loke, can I ask for your assistance?" Athlon inquired. Slate nodded. "Of course. What do you need me to do?" Athlon paused, considering his response. "We were supposed to have supplies delivered a few days ago. Their parcel never arrived. Either something had happened to him or he lied to me. So please investigate and take care of it. We can't afford not to get those supplies." Slate agreed. "Yes, and I think it would be an excellent opportunity for Loke to accompany me. It will serve a good training for him. Besides, this task will be less dangerous to what lies ahead." Athlon nodded. "But keep a close eye on him. He still has much to learn." Slate nodded in agreement. Slate observed Loke wincing in pain while moving his armour. Upon close inspection, Slate noticed some scratch marks and a bruise on Loke's face. After Loke finished taking off his armour, he headed to the kitchen where Athlon had already prepared their food. Loke dug into his meal, consumed by hunger, unaware of Slate's presence until he spoke up. Slate broke the silence. "You know, Athlon is only being tough because he needs to. People and creatures are ruthless, so you need to be prepared." "I know that," Loke responded without looking at Slate. "I just wish I could be better." Slate remained quiet for a second before responding. "Once you have eaten and rested, I need you to help me with a task that Athlon has given me." Loke's eyes lit up. "What is it?" Slate answered. "I need you to accompany me to find out what happened to Athlon's delivery man, as his supplies are running low." Loke, overcome with excitement, jumped out of the stool. "Can we go now?" "Not now. We both need to rest." Accepting this, Loke went into his bedroom. In the afternoon, Slate knocked on Loke's door and said, "Wake up. It is time." Loke opened his eyes and rubbed them. Loke yawned, stretched, and got out of the bed and changed. Loke swiftly gathered his sword and shield and followed Slate as they made their way to Sage. Once they arrived, they mounted the horse and set off towards the town, where the Mist's Wire Merchant was supposed to come from.